WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to
your ball, open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
And it's Tuesday. That means another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm John Easter, and hopefully you're out there having a great evening. A little warmish out there, but I know it's the part of the year where, you know, it's like the hot day, and then it gets really cool at night, so that's nice. But anyway, joining me, as always, Bryson Hill. Bryson, how are you?
I'm good. Nice weather out. Nice vibes out.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And, of course,
the
head coach of the Ben Davis Giants with us, Russ Mann. Coach Mann, good evening. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Coming in from that warm practice that you talked about. And tomorrow's October, right?
Yeah, right.
We're entering October.
It's more like we're going backwards. Feels like July again.
That's what we were talking about. I was saying how crazy it is we're already in week 7. Because it feels like yesterday, me and Tyler Sauer were calling the game there at Butler, but
that feels like a Butler weather right now. Like I just checked for Friday. Like it's a nice forecast for Friday, but not necessarily as hot as it's been at the beginning of this week.
Well, I mean, let's get right into it then. Coming off another loss on Friday night against Lawrence North, 19-48. Just want to ask you some of the basic stuff here. What are some things that you think you struggle with the most that you need to fix, and what are some things you think you kind of did better against the game against Warren, or that you kind of saw that stayed the same that you liked? Just kind of getting your positives and negatives.
What we need to do is get off the field on third down. Like, we got them into some situations that were right where we wanted them, like a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 5, and just getting them off the field on third down. The coverage piece, they do have a very – tall, fast, very highly recruited receiver. A lot of the personnel that we went against, too, we're going to see them again. They're all, number one, the receiver, that is a junior, and being able to a few more incomplete passes when the ball went there. Like, he made a nice catch on their sideline. The post that we defended early in the game, JV was on him a lot and made some nice stops in the air for it. At least the beginning of the game, but getting them off the field on third down, that's something that our defense needs to improve upon now. Putting people in the situations after a good stop on first down, good stop on second down, and then not being able to complete that drive and get them to put the football. But offensively, I thought we put together a lot of first downs, moving the ball, executed pretty well at a few different drives there. There are two that ended in a fourth down conversion, not being a first down. One of them was stopped in the backfield. I believe we did get the other one by reaching across the Gabe, I thought, picked it up. I thought the ball was about a half yard back.
It was
there.
Clear on replay.
Yeah, and that was crucial there at the beginning of the game. Two of the drives in, we fumbled and self-inflicted there. Other than that, we moved the ball. We did a nice job keeping them off balance and the pressures that they have. So, definitely some positives on that side of the ball. And then what we did, stopping the run, that's a high-level rushing attack that we had against LM, but getting into situations that we didn't get them off the field. And that was a crucial moment. And if we execute that onside kick to begin the second half, that would have helped begin that half of the ball.
Is there a point where you can kind of, in most of these games, can you kind of, because it seems like, at least in the last couple of games that I've noticed from fellow people on the call that I've been talking to, it seems like you guys, you know, going back to the Center Grove game, you guys start off hot when it goes into kind of that second quarter halftime. Has there been kind of points the last couple weeks and last week where you've been able to pinpoint where stuff is starting to go downhill or wrong, and or is it just kind of happens in the game of football?
Well, if you go back from any time of game, you go from 1 week to the next week, you're looking for things that you can improve upon. And so right now, narrowing it down, this would be the biggest flaw that we have is on especially third down. Like, we get ourselves in a drive where it's we got to get stops. We got to get the other offense to punt the ball, get them off the field, and then complement our special teams and offense in some of those situations. If you go back to last year at this time, we were talking about our ability to secure the ball. Like, we were fumbling a lot at this time, and we had a tough game against LN, and I don't know, maybe we lost one more fumble the rest of the year. Like, that was something that we addressed. Right now, making sure that we know that the top pass plays, the top exits for the quarterbacks on scrambling, but making sure we don't let them convert those third and long situations.
100%. And then this is why we talk about their sophomore quarterback, Darren Prather. He had a
He's good.
Nothing.
He's
I mean,
good. He is very
nothing
good.
Else to mention but an outstanding game. Only one incompletion.
Right there at the beginning.
10 for 11, 251 on the ground too. 16 for 165, and one touchdown to boat with that. And then also Xavier Moore was incredible as well. 22 carries, 113, three touchdowns. How hard is that?
They're all back too. And Prather's a sophomore in the. Running back and receiver or juniors, like that's something that one thing that you'll notice is like teams that play each other a lot in the conference and play each other a lot in the playoffs. Just take, for example, Brownsburg and Westfield this past weekend. They start to figure each other out. Whatever the rest of that question was, I don't know if I panicked there because that youth is all coming back. I was like, oh, you could really scare a lot of people with the rest of that sentence. But you start to kind of pick up on schemes, kind of pick up on personnel, kind of pick up maybe on some tendencies that you a team or an offense may have. But hopefully, as the season goes along, scores start to come down a little bit.
And how, I guess to piggyback off the question I was about to ask, you kind of answered it.
You kind of scared me.
How hard is it to, like, if a player starts to catch fire, how hard is that to slow him down and to stop him? When a quarterback only has one incompletion or a running back's, running for 8 yards a carry, how hard is that to stop a player that's on fire like that?
Well, if you this reference is going to be a little bit too old for you, the NBA Jam game that they had back in the day.
He's on fire.
You can't let him make that third shot. Can't you let him get that third one? So, like, you definitely got to pick up after that. If you said that, was that after they made the second shot, he's heating up. And so give it a different look, give it a different fit, give it a different scheme, give it a different coverage, but making sure that they don't get comfortable because it's after that third one when they're on fire, then it's in fuego. No.
I wasted so many quarters on that game.
Where'd you play your video games?
It was down at IU. Yeah. They have a huge arcade in there. And they had NBA Jam in there, and it was engineered so that the games were always close. So even if you get out to a big lead, the other team started like knocking you over and making everything.
Oh yeah, kind of like Mario Kart. They had the little rubber band effect. Yeah.
Yes, and so yeah. But coach, when you look at the defense right now, continuing to struggle a little bit as you talked about, especially on third downs. But kind of some numbers. If you look back in Ben Davis' history, you don't want to see. Historically, with this defense and the number of points given up, it's right there at the top, going back all the way to 1937, a tenth of a point ahead of the pace of the 2018 Ben Davis team, which I know when you were Warren at that point with the state championship, and that's a defense that Ben Davis struggled with that year. So one thing, though, that defense did kind of at the end of the year was kind of pick it up a little bit.
They did.
So how do you get your squad to do that, knowing that, it's like you said, the third down thing is so demoralizing because you do a really good job on the first two downs, and then the third down, just somebody gets loose, and then it's like, here we go again. So how do you get the team to say, okay, guys, let's you know, let's bear down and fix this.
Well, like our film session on Saturday, I felt that they started to realize how tied some of the pieces are to the different levels, and how connected the D-line and a role that they may have on just a run fit or just commanding a double team, or if their helmet is not in the gap that they need to be in, or they don't do what they're supposed to do at the beginning, how much it actually affects a defensive back in their play. Or there's a scramble early where if a safety fits it different than the backer would have fit, like sets and fitted differently, and it was the safety that it was connected to the front, like, hey, the D-line did what they were supposed to do for your, like, they started to kind of realize the pieces, how it's tied together, like, just because the eye candy's in front of them, or what they see is there, they got to trust the scheme, they got to trust that if I do this, what is connected to me does what they're supposed to do. It might be 2-3 levels away that's making the play just because I was where I was needed, like where I needed to be. I think from the mistakes that we had against Center Grove to the mistakes that we had on this past Friday, we're starting to get the whole package together, where if we connect at the different levels, then those scores and some of those stops start to happen. Then the scores come down, stops begin to happen, punts start to happen.
Yeah, and then I just want to
like being on that list. That is making me sick.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I just want to kind of ask here, as a coach, and I know it's very hard to do this. You know, obviously your job is to, your main job is to coach. Obviously, it happens out there in the football field, but also off the field and during practices and whatever the case may be. How do you, as a coach and as a person, how do you try to keep the morale and how do you try to keep the positivity up on this team after, you know, only one win through 6 weeks? You know, what is kind of your message at this point in the season to not everyone to be Debbie Downers per se and not give up, you know, because, like, you know, every team makes the playoffs here. So what is kind of your message? You know, only 3 games left now, Carmel, Lawrence Central, North Central. What is your message to the team after starting 1-5?
Well, there's 2 things. One, you cannot be all of a sudden full panic. You can't be full negative attitude. You can't be full of being fake. You got to be the exact same person that you've been this whole time, like, mm-hmm. and being extremely consistent on the things that we've preached from the beginning. One thing I've said a few times this week and at the end of the LN game was that now is not the time to start pulling away and doing something different or doing your own thing. But, you know, even bring it in tighter now, bringing it closer, get find one more flaw of yours to fix. And it may not be the football part of you, it may be the son part of you, it may be the brother part of you, maybe a classmate, maybe student-wise. But we continue to swim in the exact same direction, get even closer with one another. Do not deviate now. That would be something that would start to backfire even more.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And also, I don't know if you were how many situations you've been in as a player yourself or anything like that, but do you use some of that stuff as a coach now compared to when you were a player being in some of those same situations? You know, whether it's being on the other end of having one win through 6 weeks or whatever the case may be, having a bad game, you know, when you didn't expect yourself to have a bad game. Do you use some of that old advice for yourself carry it on through now as your coach before when you were a player and whatnot?
Some of us veteran coaches, you know, Coach Zach and I were talking about it with some of the other coaches on staff. He was going through more of his college days, not so necessarily his high school playing days. And I've been 2 different times I had a losing season where it was 2-8, and like one was in college and one was in high school. Both of them had a dramatic turnaround for the end of the seasons and the continuing into the next. Like the following season was not a continuation of what it was with both 2-8 seasons. And right now, this is the exact same place where we were last year. And things began to turn around, and it began it's a little different Carmel team that we're facing. The Carmel team that we were facing last year was 3-3, but we went on the road at 1-5 last year. And it's not the exact same personnel, the team that we have this year, but we have a team that's narrowing down its flaws right now, still hungry at practice, still you know, trying its best to head in the correct direction and find its best identity of itself. So using some of your personal experiences, yes, it does help, but like it helps you, especially if you had a positive one, and figure out how to get the ship going in the right direction.
100%. That's going to wrap up the first half of Inside Ben Davis Football.
All right, we'll bring it back. Part two, we'll talk about the team from the north, the Carmel Greyhounds, right after this short break on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Thanks to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Baer with eXp Realty offers services such as analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Baer of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Baer Realtor. And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. It's never good radio when you throw it to yourself, but hey, we're back here on WBDG. And this week, homecoming once again here at Ben Davis High School. And the opponent is the number 3 ranked Carmel Greyhounds, according to the coaches. Carmel, as you know, we talked about some defensive struggles. Carmel's putting up 46.3 points per game, including 28 in their only loss.
Don't mean to interrupt you real so quick far, there, but last two games they put up 119.
Yeah, so it's obviously going to be a challenge with Coach Kevin Wright back at the helm now up at Carmel. So, Bryson?
Yeah, and I mean, I'll just touch on that. 119 last two games, 56-7 win over Columbus North, and then 63-14 win over North Central. How are you approaching facing a team going off of nothing short of two masterful games?
Well, they're very efficient on offense, and Coach Wright does a great job of wherever he's coaching, actually. So everywhere at Carmel, if it's at IU, if it's at down to IMG, if it's at Warren Central, if he's helping his dad share it, wherever he touches, it's going to be gold, and they're very efficient on offense right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then looking at this as well, it looks to be more so another run-heavy team. You know, only throwing the ball 13 times. Again, we've touched on that. How are you looking into that and how heavy they can be on one side of the ball? And it's also, I know it'd be pretty difficult, but it looks like they share the ball a lot here between four different running backs who by themselves had about 20 or so carries, 29 to be exact. What is the approach to different guys that get different balls and having different game plans for everyone?
Not necessarily the different running backs that get carried. It's just that the other weapon that they have in the backfield that begins with the ball is Anthony Corner, that third year starting. He started as a freshman on JV, and then he's been up at the varsity level all 4 years. Him and Coach Wright are grooving right now. And so he's the other threat that's in that backfield. The running backs that they do have doing a great job running right now. Like the number one back is a playmaker. He's running very hard. But then they've designed some of the keeps for Anthony Corner, the things that he may be reading or they're tagging. They're timely and the hits, and Anthony Corner has some wheels. So he's had some nice long runs for the Greyhounds this year. So then there's a younger brother that I've Baylen that we used to go against in the past. I don't think they're the exact same numbers. They might have both been 8, but we had to face his older brother. So at receiver, they're just as loaded as some of the other classes they've had.
Yeah, and then I'm asking you a lot of your approach to this game, but what's your more so message and your approach defensive-wise, because you guys are going in against one of the hottest offensive teams in Indiana and around here. And then you guys also, right now you're giving up on average 34.3 points per game. What is the defensive message? And it kind of seems like you guys have been facing some very hot offenses the last couple of weeks.
And they're getting hot at the right time, when we're facing them. So but that's part of the schedule. It's something that you know at the beginning of the year too. And this is kind of the same situation that we're in last year of which direction we're going to head and how we are going to be without any mistakes that we've made in the previous week. But this is something that we have a pretty young defense that some of the things that defensively that we've asked of them, some of the game plan stuff that we may modify from week to week. So they got a challenge that's out in front of them right now. And they defensively, some of the things that we've seen so far this week is we're heading in the right direction for Friday.
Well, Coach Kevin Wright coming back to Indiana and coming back to, well, he's been in Indiana, but he's coming back to the head coaching situation here in Indiana as the head coach of the Carmel Greyhounds, a place he was at 11 seasons ago, I believe. Ben Davis fans might remember the last time Coach Wright coached against Ben Davis was the state championship game in 2014. Giants get down 17-0 in that game. And then I'm not sure what happened.
It was a personnel switch at halftime. Asmir was put a safety, and it helped stop the run.
But it just snowballed, and Giants ended up winning that game. I believe 45-24 was the final in that one. But Coach Wright, 69-11 at Carmel, which is just gaudy, frankly. State championship, a couple of runner-ups, but he's got four state championships overall. He's a Hall of Famer, 164-29 in his 17th year at Carmel. Or overall, he's been several different places. Of course, was at Warren Central and Lebanon and
Noblesville.
Trinity
for 1 year.
Louisville Trinity. But he's got just a tremendous career and certainly has done amazing things up at Carmel. So when you look at Coach Wright versus Coach Hebert that was there a year ago, what carries over maybe that people will see on Friday night? And then what changes really? Obviously, they're better. I mean, they were 3-3 facing them last year, and they ended up Coach Hebert leaving and resurfacing at Noblesville this year. But what carries over and what's different from last year's Greyhounds?
Well, I'll tell you, defensively, they got a little spark with a new player that moved into the area, number one, a weak side linebacker, a weak side defensive end that is just got brought a completely different juice to their defense. They have a different swagger to them. It looks a lot like, if you can remember the Carmel defenses from about 15 years ago, 10 years ago when he was there the previous time, here they are again. And very difficult to for the big plays, and they have somebody there on the weak side that they've always seemed to have. They had Will Helt a few years ago. They went to Purdue. They had Ty Wise. For Ty Wise, I believe there's another linebacker that just on that weak side that controls that whole side of the field, kind of dominates that whole side, run game and pass game, shuts everything down. And they got that. So that's a similarity of if you've been seen a lot of Carmel, successful Carmel football teams in the past, and that kind of looks the same from old Kevin Wright teams, even with old Heber teams. So that defense is back to being very difficult to score on at this point.
Coach Hebert was
his there. Defensive coordinator.
He was the defensive coordinator with Kevin Wright.
And it's back to just that. There's one guy over there that does kind of shut things down, wrecks things, and there it is again.
When you look at these two teams, too, obviously this rivalry goes back to the 50s. That's when they first met, played a couple of years. But it really got heated up in the late 70s when Coach Dick Dullahan was at Carmel. Bob Wilbur was here. We did an interview with Coach Dullahan. He was talking about how just physically dominated his Carmel team was by that 1977 Ben Davis team that nearly won the state championship that year, missed an extra point short, and by some guy named Morton Anderson.
Heard of him.
Yeah, I think we've heard of Morton. So then, obviously, the 80s, Coach Dullahan goes to college. Jim Belden comes into Carmel. The two teams start playing every year. So they've played every year since 1981. It's the third longest running rivalry between, you go Warren, followed by North Central, and then you have Carmel. So the third longest continuous running game on the schedule. And you look at this rivalry overall, and you cannot ignore the kind of the influence of Dick Dullahan on both programs. So what does Coach Dullahan mean to both of these teams, even now, 22 years after he retired?
Oh, great question. I'll tell you, just looking at all the different state championship pictures with our oldest daughter played in that school system when she was younger and going to some of the basketball games, I could not wait for halftime. Where I could go to the certain bathroom and then just walk down to all the championship pictures because you just got.
At this point, I think they're just coasters. The state championship trophies up there.
There might be a few of them, but yeah. Beginning back there in the 1978,
that's a joke,
Coach
Dillett.
Oh, they've got a few. So does a North Central second on that list.
Yeah.
Started back there in 1978, seeing Coach Delahaye and seeing some of the coaches that were on the staff at that time. And then going a little bit later when you see a championship in the mid-2000s and you can see all the assistants that went on to be head coaches somewhere else. But then coming here and then seeing the championships go from 1978 to like the 1988, 89, and you can start to see some of the assistant coaches you can see how excited I've been just in the studio.
Right.
Just going, you can see the story of Indiana football. As it grew here, it started with Central Indiana in the Indianapolis area, definitely with Coach Dick Delahan's presence at both of these programs.
Well, and Coach Delahan, at least in the interview we did with him when he retired, we meant to sit down and talk for about 30 minutes. We ended up talking for like an hour and 20, which can happen with Coach D. It's like when Coach wants to talk, you let him talk. Because that's Coach Dick Delahan. But we sat down, we did that interview, and he talked about that as being a catalyst for him. Because he had some options when he came back to Indianapolis, and after he had been at, I always get it flipped, whether it was at Army first or Purdue first.
Can't tell you, but I would have said he left Carmel for Purdue. I could be mistaken.
Well, and he went with Jim Young to Army too, so he may have been. But anyway, he decides he wants to come back, and he gets the call from Dr. Mifflin, who was the principal here at Ben Davis, about the football coaching job. His coach Wilbur had moved on, and he referred back to that game. He remembered that game where Ben Davis, I think the final was like 24-7, just absolutely pummeled Carmel. And Carmel at that time, as they always have been, they were Coach Delahan really helped take both programs to new mm-hmm. levels as well. And I just don't think people realize still how much of an influence Coach D has on both of these programs.
Well, you're wearing that IU polo, and I say one thing that is very significant about the 1991 national championship team here is that Coach Delahan caught football up to basketball and Coach Bobby Knight with that 1991 team. Single-handedly caught football up to Bobby Knight.
What do we got? I know we've got 3 minutes. You probably got another question, Bryson.
Just one more.
But I was going to say, does Coach Signetti remind you a little of Bob Knight?
Oh, it could be, but
I'm
the
just
man's
saying,
in the left.
Hey, shout out Hoosiers, A-ranked now.
That's right.
A in the nation. But final question here
for you
before we wrap it up is, your run game looked pretty good there on Friday night. How do you keep planning to execute that? Pretty simple.
Our offensive staff has been really really creative, really dynamic, and making sure they keep our attacks, they take care of our personnel, mm-hmm. make sure that put our guys in position, and then they have been the timely runs. And I think Avery came in with a nice spark there. I thought Jazz did a great job with playing both ways and just coming in and he ran.
He had a really good game.
Yeah,
Friday night.
He ran a little bit more, less hesitant. It just kind of just balled out, and I was really proud of him on that. And then a little lightning with Avery there getting going. And we've all seen a Price run the ball well here for 4 years, and he had a great week last week, and it was nice to see it pay off for us this past Friday.
And then I'll piggyback just one more little question, but we've kind of mentioned in the past how important it is to have reliable players. How important it is to have two amazing, reliable running backs with that you can trust. Like, one gets tired, or you're mm-hmm. worried, like, a play call might work better for this, like, mm-hmm. it might work better for Jazz. Like, how important is that for you, and how reliable, and how much more comfort does that give you knowing you have two running backs that can absolutely dominate a game and that will do their best?
Well, and it's if they both are strong and everything, some of them, right now may lack a little bit less in the pass protection, and some of them may lack a little bit less in the playmaking or the catching out of the backfield. So without developing tendencies by which ones do, which skill set's better, it is great when you have a two-headed monster back there, especially being able to relieve one and then giving them the chances to play more on special teams. So, yeah, absolutely. It's nice to have a real deep personnel.
100%. Then any final words before Friday night against Carmel?
Well, it's been a pretty fun home environment. Like the DJs have been turning up. Purple Rain keep coming out, having fun with us. So I think the fall sports are getting pretty close. Support each other, so let's go ahead and show out this Friday.
Thanks, Coach. Real quick, we really appreciate you. We know sometimes we ask tough questions here, and you always give us a good answer, so we appreciate that.
Appreciate you guys doing the show.
Yep.
Good All luck right. on Friday.
Appreciate it.
Yep. So Friday night, the Ben Davis Giants, the Carmel Greyhounds for the 52nd time all time. It should be a great one. It usually is between Carmel and Ben Davis. Sometimes it favors the team that's not expected to win. So we'll see if that plays out on Friday night. This is a very unpredictable rivalry. It's kind of like always a fight in a phone booth between these two. Just a good physical high school football game. Get out there and see it Friday night. Good luck to the Ben Davis Giants. That's going to wrap up Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.